Lord, as we come unto you this morning, it is with great praise because I know we're doing what you want and we're getting there, Lord, a step at a time. So help us this morning, I pray. The Holy Spirit will reveal to each one what is the Lord's will for him or her and the strength and wisdom to please God. Grant it to us this morning, Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 8. That's where we left off last Sunday. 8:29, we'll read it together. Very important verse. All right, here we go. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Okay. Does anyone beside Marla remember the two parts of Christ's image? Well, you have to tell them, Marla. They don't know.
To look like him and have his power, and to be motivated to behave like him, or stern obedience.
Perfect. People say, yeah.
Write it down, people.
All right, put it simply, the image is to look like him and to act like him. Now, that's not all that difficult. To look like him and to act like him. All right. First of all, let's talk about looking like him. There's more to that than we understand. And the reason is because of the false doctrine of the rapture. What the rapture has done, it has driven the doctrine of the resurrection, of our resurrection, not Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection right out of the Christian thinking in many cases. See, we don't understand. The rapture is, the concentration is on getting us out of here into a world where there are no worries, no sickness, no death. And that is not a true doctrine of the Scriptures. Nowhere does the Scriptures, in the Old Testament or the New, say that God is going to carry his church up to heaven. It doesn't say that. And it's a good idea to go by what the Scripture does say. How many believe that? So unless you can find a verse in the New Testament that says that God is going to catch his waiting bride away or carry his saints up to heaven, unless you can find that, then don't believe it. Now what it has done, it has, I could say, eclipsed or removed, concealed the doctrine that was Paul's goal. It's just that important. Paul's goal was the resurrection. And it was because it's in the resurrection that our body is changed. See, how many have read in the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you read that? Do you see any place that his appearance was unusual?
Yes.
Was he just a human being or not? Did anybody say, oh, look at that shining light over there?
Yes. Only on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Only in the what?
On the Mount of Transfiguration. Otherwise.
Yes. That's true. I didn't even think of that. on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was revealed. But by and large, his appearance was that of an ordinary human being. He was born as an ordinary human being. There was no light flashing from him when his mother and father brought him into the temple. He was just a person like us. We're just people, aren't we? Yeah, we're just people. Now, after his resurrection, you can see in, it's in Revelation, the first chapter, the 12th verse. And let's read that together. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. By the way, that expression is found a great deal in the Old Testament, particularly in Ezekiel, the son of man. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his waist. Now, if you want to read about him as a person, it's in verse 12 of John 21, 12. John 21, 12. Let's read it together. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And yet, he came as a person. He ate the fish. He didn't hold it up in the air and say, "God bless this food," or anything else. He just was hungry for fish, and he ate fish. So that tells us that after the resurrection, we can look just like a person. Now, they knew it was the Lord because of the fish that they caught, not because he was shining or anything of the kind. He's just a person. And we will be just a person after the resurrection. But when he chose to show himself in another way, it's in verse 13 of Revelation 1, 12, and 13. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet. Now, of these two appearances of Christ, one as a person. Now, this was after his resurrection. And the second time as the glorified Son of Man, Son of God, which do you think we will look like?
Both.
And that may rattle your cage a bit. Let's look at Daniel 12:2. Daniel 12:2. No, I'm sorry, verse 3. Verse 3 of Daniel 12. Let's read it. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Hold it. Is this talking about people like you and me? Well, this also is what it means to be conformed to his image. Now, can you picture that for yourself? Let's read on in there. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Now, do you see how different that is from the teaching of the rapture? The rapture carries us up, like we are, into a land where, everything is perfect. And I can't say like Disneyland, because now there's stuff coming out about the workers at Disneyland are not that happy. All right. You see how different. First of all, that second part of that is not by grace, is it? It's by works. And what are those works? And of Daniel 12:3, what works are they that guarantee you will shine as a star?
Lead many to righteousness.
You lead people to righteousness. See, the grace doesn't figure in. The rapture is totally dependent on grace because it requires no change of you and me. But you see, the resurrection, what you'll be like in the resurrection, whether you shine like a star, or whether it says in John 5:29, some will be raised to condemnation. Do you see now the danger of the rapture teaching? It is that everybody in the church, all our friends, and down south, they always say, y'all come. Y'all come. And the resurrection is not like that at all. It reveals what you are. The resurrection reveals what you are. And if you're a sinful person, you'll be raised to condemnation. So you see, the rapture has done away with all this central teaching of the New Testament. Just done away with it. That and lawless grace are the greatest errors that have ever come into Christian thinking. God now, I said, Lord, you want me to talk about the resurrection? These people have problems with getting up in the morning and eating their breakfast. You want me to go way out here somewhere? He says, stress the resurrection. So that's what I'm doing. Okay. Let's look at verse 20 and read it together. But our citizenship is in heaven. What, don't we have it up there yet? Have I got the wrong one? This should be Philippians 3, 20 and 21. I'm sorry. Oh, man. If we just had a young pastor that had his brains, we'd be so happy. All right, here we go. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's why you don't get all in a bunch because of what's going on in the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Just like an English person who was serving in India, his citizenship was in England, but his bodily presence was in India. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our bodily presence is in the United States. By the way, that power of multiple presence is one of the greatest things we'll enjoy when after the resurrection. I don't think it will be true, but I'm not going to say it won't be true of us right after we die, because the Bible says virtually nothing about what happens to us when we die. It talks about the new heaven and the new earth and all, but it doesn't say much about when we die. Is it after we die? There's the judgment. But that happens now. We pass before the judgment seat of Christ now. Make no mistake. If we have counted ourselves dead, then God takes us at our word, says, okay, you're dead. Now let's begin the judgment. So I can't say what will happen to whom after we die, because the Bible doesn't tell us. So our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, now notice this, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, isn't that better than the rapture? Isn't the scripture better than the rapture? Huh? The scripture doesn't talk about the transforming of our body in the rapture. It just talks about get out of here. Get me out of here. And we feel like that a lot of times, and I probably feel like that more than you do. But that's not my goal, to get out of here. You don't know what you're going to face when you get out of here. But you do know that if you serve the Lord, that your body will be made like his. And you saw him in Revelation, and you saw him on the beach. So you will have that power to be in heaven and on earth at the same time. Marvelous things. But it's all in the resurrection. That's what I want to point out to you. All right, now, well, let's go to Romans. It will be chapter 7, about the second to last verse. All right, let's read verses 24 and 25 together. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Now, see, what Paul is groaning for is to get out of his body, not to be carried up to heaven in his body, but to get out of his body. See, who's going to deliver me from this? And he was talking about sin. So let's read verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Now, I want to correct the NIV, and Tony's right with me. See, Tony, where it says sinful nature? What does it say in the Greek? See it? Verse 25? What does it say? It doesn't say sinful nature. Don't tell me that. What does it say? Well, while Tony's checking it out, it's flesh. Sarki. Flesh. You say, what's the difference between sinful nature and flesh? Now I'm gonna quit talking and say something. Listen. One of the things the devil has put on the church, and he's done a good job of it, is that we are hopelessly sinful. When you talk about sin to people, it's, oh, we're all sinners. We can't help it. But that's, and the NIV reinforces it when instead of translating what the Greek says, they figure it can't mean flesh. It must mean our sinful nature. Well, what comes into your mind when you hear sinful nature? The whole ranch. It's hopeless. You know, body, soul, and spirit, I'm all a sinner. That's what sinful nature says. And what? How am I going to get out of that? Best thing to do is to go to heaven where it doesn't matter. See, that's the average Christian thinking. The problem, there are several, well, not several, just a couple of areas of sin in our life. And one of the main ones, and the one he's talking about here because he's referring to the resurrection, one of the main sources of sin is dwelling in our flesh. Now let's take, say you have a sudden temper. You fly off the handle. You can't control yourself. See, that's dwelling not in your soul, but in your flesh. Not in your whole sinful nature, but just in your flesh. And that can be cast out if you want it out. All right? How does the Bible say to cast it out? What does the Bible say? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I can't speak about the days before I was born, but I'll tell you today we're in the third day. You know, in Hosea, it says that in the third day he will restore us. You know what Jesus said? I'll cast out devils and heal the sick for 2 days, and the third day I'll reach my goal. Can you beat it with a stick? And there are several such illustrations in the Old Testament. When the third day comes, days 1 and 2 are for God's working. When the third day comes, he's going to do the job. And the main thing to perfect Christ, or as it says in some translations, I'll reach my goal. Now, what was I saying? In the third day, I will reach my goal. And I was going to say something else. What was it? That's all right. It'll come to me. But the point is, we're in a different day now. We're in a different day than when I was a boy. I wasn't the same when I first became saved. There was no message of deliverance from sin. It was they sang songs about, I'm so happy, here's the reason why, Jesus has taken my sins away. Well, what they meant was, he's taken away my guilt. I'm so happy, here's the reason why, Jesus took my burden, no, burdens all away. Well, there's other songs about the Lord taking our sins away. And that's what's preached today. But they don't mean taking the sins away. They say we're all helpless creatures, all bound by sin. You see? But Jesus saved us. He took away our sins. They don't mean he took away our sins. They mean he took away the guilt of our sins. Now I'm going to ask you something. You're all bright. What's the difference between the guilt of sin and the sin itself? Is there any difference?
Yes.
What's the difference? That's what's taught today. Christ came to take away our sins, meaning the guilt of our sins, not the sins themselves. We are hopelessly bound in sin. Come on, kids. Is there any difference between sin itself? Is there any difference between taking away sin and taking away the guilt of sin? You bet. Well, we've come today to a new day. We're in the third day now. And that day, I believe, will go on forever. And in this day where we're living, Christ is here to take away our sins, not the guilt. He did that on Calvary to take away our sins. Now, let it sink deep into your mind because it's different from the way the Christian church thinks. They don't believe Christ can take away our sins. They don't believe it. They believe he can take away the guilt of our sins, but not the sins themselves. That's why sinful nature lends itself to this error. But if they said flesh, like what the Greek says, then we say, oh, the sin's in my flesh. Well, maybe the Lord can take it out of my flesh. Big difference. All the difference in the world. So we're in a new day. I never heard anybody preach it even today, much less when I first got saved. They said, we're all going up to heaven in a rapture. That's no gospel. That's the flesh of man crying out to get out of the problems of the world. There's no resurrection life in that. Huh? Well, nobody's arguing with me, so what am I arguing for? All right. Now, we're talking about Romans 7, the second to last verse, the last two verses in Romans 7. Is that all right with everybody? All right, it says, but in the flesh, a slave to sin. Now you see how he's talking about the resurrection? He's talking about getting out of his flesh, not being talking about carried up to heaven, but getting out of his flesh. Now, he repeats this idea in verse 23 of the same chapter. All right? Now let's say it together. Do I have it on here? No, I don't have it. Do I have 823 on here? No, I want 8. I want 823. Come on, you guys. I appreciate your help, though. Romans 8:23. Not only, let's read it together. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now hold it right there. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means the people on the earth who are not of the church one day are going to have the Spirit of God. That's why he said 30, 60, and 100. That 30-fold is the people saved from the nations. The sheep who are saved not by accepting Christ, but by doing what? How are the sheep saved? By doing what? Don't look at me like a perch.
Helping God's people.
By helping God's people. Isn't that what he said in Matthew 25? Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren. Who are the brethren? The brethren are the church. We read that this morning, the first verse, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So he's saying in Matthew 25, when he has the nation spread out before him, he separates them not into, this is another common error, not into sheep nations. There's no nation that's a sheep nation. And there's no nation that's a goat nation. He separates the people into the sheep and goats, not the nations. Boy, you'll hear that error all the time. Is America a sheep nation? We know better than that. Are there sheep in this nation? Yes, there are sheep in this nation. Right?
Yes.
All right. Now, those sheep are the nations in the New Jerusalem, not in the New Jerusalem, on the New Earth. The people that it reads about, there's no more death, there's no more sorrow, there's no more this, that, it's not talking about the church. It's talking about the nations. Turn to Revelation 21. I'll be juggling so many balls here, I won't know where I'm. Turn to Revelation 21 and look down and see where it says, and the nations shall walk in the light of it. Come on, Nigeria, wake up. The nations shall walk in the light of it. Did you find it?
Yes.
Revelation 21, down close to the bottom. What verse?
24.
24. 24, simple English. Now, who are it?
The church.
Carol, don't give them all the answers. Wait. Who's the it?
City.
No, they can't find the it. Does it say the nation shall walk in the light of it? Who's it? Now, maybe you learned something this morning. If you did, it was worth coming to church. It are the brothers. It is the church, the New Jerusalem. That's the church. And the nations are the sheep from the nations that were brought into the kingdom which was prepared for them. The kingdom is the New Jerusalem. It was prepared for the peoples of the earth. Tony.
Verse 23, it says, and the city, is that?
Verse 22. No temple therein, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the bride of the Lamb. When you study Revelation 22, you'll see that the throne of God and of the Lamb are in the New Jerusalem. It's called in the King James the Tabernacle of God, the dwelling place. In the last couple of verses in Ephesians, the second chapter says we are being made a house, a house. We're being made an eternal tabernacle. We're the church. We're not the goats and we're not the sheep. We are the it. The light. Doesn't it say you are the light of the church? How many know that? What does it say? You're the light of the world. God cares about the world. And he's going to put the whole world before him. And Christ is here, and behind him, though Matthew 25 doesn't say it, are his brethren, because he alludes to them, these my brethren. So they're there watching this judgment. Here's a sheep, here's a goat, here's a sheep, here's a goat. And then he says to the sheep, enter into the kingdom prepared for you. And they never accepted Christ. Dear Lord. Well, how did they qualify? A Christian was in prison, and a person from the world visited him. That's how they gain entrance to the new earth. See, there's 30, 60, and 100. The church is divided into 30 and 60. The 100 and 60. The 100-fold are in Revelation 14. They're the cream of the crop. And then the 60-fold is the rest of the church people. The church. But the 30-fold have the Spirit of God, because nobody is entered into God's kingdom without the Holy Spirit. See, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So that's what I'm telling you. Don't get worried about today. Everything's going wrong in the world, and it shall, and it's supposed to. And when the Lord comes, He's going to not carry His church into heaven. He's going to take a select group, and I'll talk about them in a minute. But right now I'm talking about Romans 8, the first fruits. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. What does the word first mean? One day the church will have it. One day the church will have the Holy Spirit. Because there'll be nobody on the new earth without the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the law of God. It's the law of God. It's simple when you think about it. It's a very simple plan. But we have problems because the teaching for 2,000 years has been wrong. Except for Calvary. Calvary is preached correctly. He took away the sins of the guilt of the sins of the world. He should add guilt in there so people get it straight. Because today He's standing at the right hand of God. He's ready to take away the sin of the world. Because when He gets through, there'll be no, the sin will all be, as it says in Revelation 22, it'll be outside the walls of the holy city. They can't come in. They're in the land of darkness. They're in the lake of fire. Now, you're all doing so good, we'll continue. All right, here we are. I told you about two images and about Christ saying, go tell that fox, on the third day I will reach my goal. And in other translations, I'll be perfect. I'll be perfect. Oh, there's such a smorgasbord. There's so many things for us to learn. Now, we did mention 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. We went over that, didn't we? 1 Corinthians 15:45. That's referring to Christ, and as you read down, it's referring to us because we're made in the image of Christ. So, to be changed from a living soul. Now, what is your soul? All right. You know what your body is. You know what your spirit is. What is your soul? It's the source of your will. So it's fundamentally who you are is your soul. It's the soul that gets saved. Now, you can lose your soul and become a spirit. That because Jesus said, trade your soul. Then I won't go into that. But your soul must be put to death, and Christ must take its place. Now, Jesus, you remember in Gethsemane, he's talked about the death of his soul. What was that? How does that go? My soul is sorrowful unto death. Jesus said that, because even he had to have his soul replaced by the soul of God. You see, that's why after saying that, he said, not my will. See, referring to his soul. How many see that? See, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, God, take out my very source of my will and put yourself in here. I'm going to do your will, even though it means I may never see your face again. Now, that's what God's requiring of you and me. Nothing short of it. That's why it says, reckon yourself dead. Doesn't mean your physical body. It means your soul, your will. It has to die. You can't go on living and making your own plans and projects and imaginations and everything else. You can't do that and be a Christian. You've got to give your will over to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given his will over to God, so that the kingdom is not my will, but yours be done. Amen. Now, that's the basic decision we must make. You can fool around all the edges of Christianity that you want to. Go to church, even talk in tongues, believe it or not. Prophesy. That's why I said, we cast out devils in your name and so on, I never knew you. You can do all these things in an imitation. They're an imitation. And most Christian people are in an imitation. They don't realize it. They will, because we're coming into war and we're coming into it fast. And Christ told me last night, it's going to be chaos, absolute chaos. And unless you give your soul to the death of the cross, unless you give your soul to the death of the cross, I'm going to tell you something. You're not under the covering of the 91st Psalm. See, we look at that and say, oh, good. They're going to be killed all around, but not me. But when the Lord asks for your will, you don't give it to him. So forget it. You're not a Christian. Remember Jesus said, if you would be my disciple, what? Take up your cross and follow me. And that's a decision. Have you taken up your cross? Your cross is deferred desire, where you put all your desires away and say, I will live for the will of God. If you haven't done that, you're not a disciple. And more than that, you're not eligible to be gathered to the Lord when he comes. Now, where was I? All right. As we have borne the likeness of the earth, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Yeah, that's in 1 Corinthians 15:49. Now, Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. I wake you up, dear friends. If you're waiting for Christ to come, don't, unless you are ready. All right. When Jesus comes, that is the first resurrection. See, we don't see it because we don't read 1 Thessalonians 4 correctly. But when the Lord comes, all those who come with him will be resurrected. And I'll talk about the other group in a minute. But all who come with Jesus, and that's not all the saints in heaven or believers or whatever. That's the ones who have done what I'm talking to you about. That's why it says they without us cannot be made perfect. They hear what I'm saying, believe me. I saw one time walking up Jesmond Dean, they were taking notes. That's one for you, Marlon. All right, now look at verse 5. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. What does it mean, come to life? Be resurrected. And they didn't come until after the 1,000-year kingdom age, which begins when the Lord comes. Are you there? Anybody there? Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. That means those who have come with Jesus. But it also means those on the earth who fulfill these conditions. The second death has no power over them. That's a crazy word in the Greek. I thought it was exousia, but it's something else. It's a word I did not know. But NIV translates it as power and authority, both. They have power over them. Now, what does it mean for the second death to have no power over you? The second death has power over certain behaviors. And if you're doing one of them, it has power over you, and you're not eligible for the resurrection that will take place when the Christ comes, because that's the first resurrection. All right? Now turn to Revelation 21, verse 7, I believe. 8. Is it 8? Yeah, that's right. 8. Now, if you come under one of these categories, the second death has authority. The Father has given the second death, the lake of fire, authority over these, but I think there's 7 categories. Now notice it doesn't say the person who is a coward on one occasion, see. The cowardly. A person who is cowardly. It's not talking about cowardice. The act is talking about a person who is cowardly. And if you're cowardly, you can't get anywhere with God. Because you have to have guts to go through all the things that are trying to stop you, including Satan and all his little helpers. If you're a coward, you won't do it. You'll give up. You say, oh, you know me, I'm just this. You won't make it with God, I'm telling you. You have to. If you don't, wasn't it? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And if you feel you're coming short in the area of cowardice, before you leave here today, hopefully, but if not, sometime today, you say, Lord, I'm a coward. Tell the Lord that. Don't beat around the bush. Just say, I'm a coward. And a lot of times in my life, I could have done something, but I was afraid. I just wouldn't go through my fear and say, God, take it out of me. Heal me. You know, how many here want the second death to have authority over you? Power over you. Well, if you're a coward, there you are. The word of God cannot be broken. It cannot be changed. No wonder God wanted me to talk about the resurrection. You won't make the first resurrection, I'll guarantee you that, because that's for the priesthood of God. The unbelieving. Do you not believe the scripture? Huh? You have to overcome the devil. You do it by the word of your testimony. That is by saying the scripture is true and I'm going to live it by God's help. You go fooling around and compromising. There's the word, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile. There's so many vile things. You probably don't read them, but I read a third. What do you call it? What is it? The left and the right. I'm on the right. And I get a right-wing newspaper on the computer. And you should read, and they're the vile things you cannot believe. God, I read one this morning. It was almost too much for me. It was something, the ISIS, you know, that this rebel bunch of Muslims that are out from the general body of Muslim people. Do you know what they're doing now to Iraqi spies? They're immersing them in nitric acid. I mean, I read where they'd get them up top of a four-story building and push them off. That's one way they deal with them. But this immersing them in nitric acid is a new one. Nitric acid will eat anything. So by the time it gets to their vital parts, they're gone. Now that is vile. And then there's people choking little girls and raping them. That's vile. Don't you agree? That's vile. Anything that's done to hurt little children or even innocent animals is vile. That's what vileness is. Something you say, ooh, how could they do that? It's nasty. That's wrong. That's vile. They all belong in the lake of fire, and it has authority over them. They could say, I'm not going in you, and the lake of fire says, oh, yes, you are, because the Father said. The murderers. And you, if you're a murderer would be someone not only who actually killed somebody, but did so in their heart. You know, someone they wouldn't forgive. When you won't forgive someone, you give Satan an access to that person. Because they don't want to forgive them either. Sexually immoral. In our nation, the United States of America, by and large, is sexually immoral. With some exceptions. Nakedness is increasing every day. You do things that are immoral. You say, but I can't help myself. No, you can't, but Jesus can if you pray hard enough. No, you can't help yourself, but Jesus can help you. How many believe that? Amen. The Son of God can take that out of you. Amen. I don't care how strong it is or if you inherited it from all your ancestors. Jesus Christ can deal with it and take it out. It's a devil. It's no light thing. And a lot of Christian people, there's Christian people that molest their children. Now, being a Christian doesn't guarantee anything. You don't want to get into the United States sexual immorality because it comes at you from every quarter. Don't give in to it. Get on your face before God. And don't quit until He delivers you. And He will, as He's standing today. Those who practice magic arts. Now, you know, this Christian people read the horoscope in the paper. That's a magic art. What do you think? The stars aren't going to direct your paths. Huh? Keep away from anything. Well, I'll tell you, the whole claim it, name it and claim it is a magic art. Because you're trying to get something by psychic, name it and claim it, that stuff. Word of faith and all that. It's magic. When you want something, you ask Jesus. You don't try to think it into existence. The power of positive thinking, that's magic. Magic. Don't get entangled with that thing. Any kind of manipulating the physical environment by your thoughts, saying, I believe I'm healed, I believe I'm healed. Tell God you're sick if you want to get healed, because He'll say, oh, you're healed, okay, I'll go to somebody else. That's right. Overdo it. Say, God, I can't get out of it. I'm so sick. Oh, the Lord will hear that. Help me, Lord. But if you say, I'm fine, I've been healed. When you haven't, wrong move. That's a magic art. What else have we got here? I'm almost through, so don't give up. Idolaters. Now, with most mothers, I think they idolize their children in America. That isn't true everywhere, you know. But we do worship our children. And that's a good thing if you find yourself worshiping your children. What if my child should die, get run over by a tractor or something? I'll hate God. That shows you got an idol. You're worshiping your child. I tell you, falling in love in a romantic insanity, you're making an idol out of that person. Fall in love with Jesus. Nobody else. Nobody else. The spirit of romance is from Adam. Let's face it. There is love. There is courtship. There is marriage love. All these things are holy. But not going nuts over somebody of the opposite sex. That's idolatry. Ask God to deliver you. They'll let you down sooner or later. They will let you down sooner or later. God will make them to get your eyes off them. God will make them let you down. So have mercy on us. God's dealing with them. And you say, but they're such a stinker. They always were. You just didn't see it. You're looking through rose-colored glasses. But they were a stinker. We all are.
Amen.
We're born that way. But God has come in the third day to do something about it. And all liars. God has dealt with me a lot about that. Not that I do a lot of lying. I don't. But anytime you try to misrepresent something, anytime you say or try to do something, you're not doing it in the Lord at all. You're just doing it to make life easy for yourself. You disqualify yourself from the first resurrection. And when you do that, that means when the rapture comes, you won't go. The ones that go with him are described in, let's look at it. I've got 3 minutes, I think. Look in Revelation 20, verse 5. And you'll see those who qualify for what we call a rapture. That is to go to Jesus when he comes. Blessed and holy. Have part in the first resurrection. That's when the Lord comes. The second death has no power over them, and that means authority. Nothing. But they will be priests of God and of Christ. And you know what? You walk with him in the white robe of the royal priesthood. And you won't be left here. You will, at that time, be caught up with those who have come with Jesus and then descend with him to govern the nations of the earth and teach them the ways of the Lord. And that is a wonderful thing to hope for and to look for. That is so well worth it. Not when the Lord comes, I'll be taken out of here. When the Lord comes, I will be resurrected, have a new body, walk in the white robes of the royal priesthood with Jesus, with the Lamb, and I will descend with him and govern the nations. Now I tell you, if that isn't a better hope than the rapture, I'll eat my King James Bible. That's a better hope than going up to heaven, doing you know not what. You're in playland, wonderful, but the people who are with Jesus will be with him on the Jerusalem on the earth, giving out the word of the Lord, and the nations will accept it, and there'll be peace on earth as God and his saints, Christ and his saints, rule for 1,000 years. Isn't that worth going for? All right, what do you have to do? Be blessed and holy. And you say, Lord, help me be blessed and holy. You don't try to do it yourself. And then all these goodies will be true of you. Now, if that isn't good news, that's a gospel. Huh? Come on, people. Hi. Some of you are looking at me like, what is he saying? No rapture, what? I'm not going to be caught up this afternoon and get out of here before there's a war. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm saying you have to attain to the resurrection by godly behavior, reckoning yourself dead and following Christ every day. You've been a good group. You have listened attentively. And God, I pray you will bless us all together with an understanding of what's going on. There's been so much error in your church that the people are like children. They haven't grown to maturity. They haven't become stars that shine forever and ever. Now's the time, Lord, in the third day that you have come to your church to help us to prepare for your great coming in the clouds of glory. I love you, Lord, and I thank you that all of us have the opportunity to be alerted in time. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You've been a good group. You get A+. Everybody gets A+ today. Almost everybody. There may be somebody that didn't, but most everybody.